You're listening to the Become Stronger podcast. In this episode, my guest Lisa Carpenter, who is a six-figure business owner and a competitive bodybuilder, and myself, we are going to take apart one of the most common myths in the fitness industry and the entrepreneurial world, which is the harder I work, the better my results are going to be. You will discover why this is some massive BS and how making yourself a higher priority and taking more care of your well-being is going to not only increase your overall happiness, but also help you to achieve your goals way faster. If this is something which you are interested in, keep listening. All right, welcome to a new episode of the Become Stronger podcast. I'm your host, Manuel Kiselak, and today I'm going to have a very special episode for you guys, because today I have a guest, Lisa Carpenter, and we are going to be talking about some very controversial topics that might change your view on how to approach what you're doing with your work, with your training, in terms of your health, and especially your recovery. All right, welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to this conversation. It's going to be a good one.
Awesome. Yes, it's definitely going to be a good one because, as I already mentioned, we got some really nice topics to cover today. And as always, when I have a guest on my podcast, I just like to start with a quick introduction. So for those who don't know you yet, Lisa, tell us something about you, who you are, your story, what you're doing.
Oh my gosh. So just nutshell it. I do the same thing to when I have guests on my own podcast, I ask them to introduce themselves. And, you know, it never gets any easier, you know, when we're put in that position of introducing ourselves. But so I am a master coach. I have been a coach for over two decades now. And I typically work with ambitious, driven doers who like to accomplish a lot of things in their lives. But they're often overdoers, meaning that they typically overwork, overtrain, are overly busy, and put themselves at the bottom of their priority list. So, in a nutshell, those are the type of people that I work with and how I support people in transforming. It's really looking at our lives and where we're not feeling fulfilled, and how we can learn to slow down so that we can still accomplish amazing things, but not by doing more. It's really looking at how we can do less, but better, which is kind of a mind bender for most ambitious driven people, because we are always about more, 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 lifting more, doing more, making more money. And to achieve those things, it actually requires us to slow down and focus on letting go of things that aren't serving us.
Yeah, so basically you're saying that doing more is not always going to give me more results, right?
Correct. We know this from the gym.
Yeah.
Right? Just because you put more hours into a training session doesn't mean you're going to get better results. You're actually going to end up injured and overtrained, which then can take your progress in the opposite direction. And this is true of most things in life. Trying to do more isn't going to get you better results.
Yeah. And I think that's a big shift for many people. You mentioned you work together with people who are always on the doing side, on the achieving side, typically entrepreneurs, correct me if I'm wrong. And I think in my own experience, it is this paradigm, almost a religion, I want to say, that you just gotta grind the entire time, and the more I'm doing, the more I'm getting, and I need to just do more and more and more to get ahead.
Right.
I think we need to be clear with that a little bit, because many people are taking this in the very wrong direction, being like, okay, so you're saying that you don't have to do anything. No, that's not what we're saying.
No, that is not what we're saying at all. It's not about not doing anything. It's that so many of the men and women that I work with, it's about, no pun intended, trimming the fat, losing the parts of your life that aren't actually supporting you getting the results you want, taking an honest inventory. And so many of us place so much value on the things we accomplish, not realizing we're chasing our self-worth in the things we're doing and the volume of things that we're doing, instead of taking a step back and saying, well, wait a minute, what am I actually trying to achieve here? How is it that I want to feel? And that's a big part of the work that I do as well, is helping people identify with what they're actually feeling, because most of our overdoing and overtraining and all that stuff comes down to not wanting to be present to emotions that we're feeling. So we use overdoing and overtraining as a way to kind of numb out what we're actually feeling, which is the bigger problem that we need to look at.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. So why do you think people try to avoid feeling and try to, or use overdoing as a method to not face certain stuff? I mean, I've been doing this, so I used to do this for a very long time. Even training, it used for me to just be something where I can basically numb myself. There's been times where my intention behind my training sessions went to this direction. So, I mean, you said you had 2 decades of experiences working on topics like that. What do you think causes that, and why is it important for us to deal with those types of feelings?
So this is a really good question, and I think I need to give a little bit of backstory as to, you know, what led me to this discovery, because I have always been really driven and ambitious. You know, I've always owned my own business. I've been training in the gym for as long as I can remember. Like when I graduated high school, I started training. So it's been, you know, many decades now. And I never realized that all my doing was in an effort to get away from myself, so to speak. And it wasn't until my hubby went into rehab that I really had to come face to face with my own gremlins. You know, what had I done to attract an unhealthy relationship into my life? And as much as I thought that it was going to be a journey around helping him heal, it quickly became me realizing that I was my own hot mess, right? I was in just as much trouble as he was, because I was so addicted to what we call process addiction. So things like behaviors, people pleasing, controlling, perfectionism, and also things like overdoing, overtraining. So it was a real journey to starting to redefine some of these things and let them go, and looking at the importance that I'd put on them, because it was how I was trying to find my own sense of self-worth in the things that I accomplished. But it didn't matter how much I did. It didn't matter how much I accomplished. I never felt good enough. It didn't matter how many shows I competed in, because I always did well, right? I've always been a competitor. I've always been an athlete. I always place really well. I'm very charismatic when I go on stage, but it didn't matter how much I won. It didn't matter how high I placed. It didn't matter how much I lifted. It didn't matter how many clients I had or what I created in my world. It never felt good enough. I never felt good enough. So it was always chasing, wanting to feel good enough, but never feeling good enough. And that's when things started to really unravel for me. And I ended up in a place where it cost me my health. So here I was, totally committed to my health and well-being, yet at the same time, not recognizing the emotional toll that all of this was taking on my body. So I ended up with adrenal fatigue, which, you know, caused me to have to really put my training on pause. I had to look at how hard I was pushing myself. I had to come to value rest, which is a doer. It's like, why would I rest? You know, and when meditation was first introduced to me, I'm like, why would anybody want to meditate? Like, what? There's no value in doing nothing. But when you get really sick and you're forced to slow down, you start to understand the value of doing nothing. And then in doing nothing, slowing down, that is doing something, right? As athletes, we know this, that it's not the effort that you put in the gym. That's part of it. But it's when you're recovering that you grow, right? That's an imperative part of becoming a better athlete, is those periods of rest. So through all of this is really what helped me to peel back and discover that I had all these emotions that I wasn't tuning into. I wasn't recognizing those feelings of frustration and anger and sadness and not feeling good enough or worthy. And that, you know, I still remember the day that I said to my counselor, oh my God, I'm like suffering from like low self-esteem. You know, and it, because it's not, if you had asked me, I would have never said this is a problem, right? Nobody ever wakes up and says, I think I have a problem with my self-esteem and my self-worth. We don't typically recognize this, but this was what was going on for me. And that's really when everything started to change, because it was about learning to process my emotions, be present with them, honor what it is I needed, learn to value myself, learn to value my worth, and start to recognize that it wasn't coming from anything I ever accomplished. That was a feeling I had to experience from the inside out. So don't get me wrong, I still love to accomplish amazing things. We know this. I love to do extraordinary things in my life. But now it's not coming from a place of not feeling good enough or worthy enough. These are just extra things that add to my life. They allow me to feel certain experiences, like walking out on stage, right? That was such an expansive and fun experience, especially in the middle of a pandemic, like to be able to do that. So that's what it's all about, is really coming home to looking at your behaviors, looking at what you may be trying to avoid in your life, and starting to tune in and asking yourself, well, how am I feeling? How do I want to feel? Is this supporting me feeling the way I want to feel? Or am I trying to avoid things that I don't want to feel?
Yeah, I think the major point here that you mentioned, because also something I used to experience, is trying to prove one's worth through achievement. And I think it's a very dangerous place to work from, because it's, as you mentioned, no matter what you're doing, you will never like feel good enough about yourself. You will never get this experience of self-worth if you're working from this place. And I noticed for myself when I was starting out to train, which was 10 years ago, and I was just so terrible, insecure in social environments. I was crazy anxious. I was lonely often. I played a hundred hours of video games a week from time to time. And when I started to go to the gym, it was for me something, I think the first time I really felt powerful. And I think that's something which you really can experience through the gym, because if you start lifting those weights and you're like, damn, I can actually do this. And you start to see those changes in your bodies, right? It's not just a physical change. It's also something you start changing the way you see yourself. And for me, it was something which I really came to realize in 2018, 2019, where I hit this life goal of mine to deadlift triple body weight. And I did that. And I thought back then, for like, damn, once I get this, I will feel like I'm on the top of the world. And I felt like this for 2 days. And then I started to get, I don't want to say into depression, but I just felt like I don't want to do anything anymore, because I still felt the same way. I just didn't want to get out of bed anymore. I woke up and was like, well, what's the point anyway? So I just stayed in my bed till afternoon, watched some series the whole day, and did nothing for, this went on for like 2 months. And it was really, for me, it was an experience that just showed me, okay, there's just more to that. And I think what you can you can translate this to pretty much every other aspect in your life. I mean, it's not just the weights. It's the same with the money. You're like, okay, I'm going to make those 10K a month. I'm going to have this 200K a year, 500,000 a year, whatever. But it's always, like, there's always something you could put on top of that.
Right. The dark side of goal setting, right? It's, we believe that we're going to feel a certain way when we hit these goals, and we do get to feel that way. But if you're tying everything about who you are and your value in the world in that goal, once you've accomplished that goal, it can feel pretty empty. And I've accomplished a lot of amazing goals in my life and have had very similar experiences to you where it was like, oh, and then it was just, okay, tick the box. Now what?
Yeah.
I never paused. I never allowed myself to celebrate my journey. I never really honored what I accomplished because it was immediately like, well, now what? Or that still isn't good enough. You know, I've written books, I've created courses, I've won shows. And it never left me feeling good enough. And this is why we get into this perpetual cycle of setting more and more goals, because we're constantly chasing that. Well, when I get this, then I'll feel that way. But it rarely happens. So to get to a place where you're truly loving yourself and you know who you are without these external pieces of validation, it allows you to accomplish these goals and actually celebrate them, feel proud of yourself. And you can still set more goals, but you know that, like, for me, what's changed now, it's not about the outcome anymore. It's really about the process, who I get to be along the way. So, you know, winning my show this year was an amazing accomplishment, but what I loved about it the most was the entire journey to get there, because, you know, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to go until my seatbelt was buckled around my lap on the plane. But like every bit of the training and the prep to get to that place, I was so proud of myself for all of it. So it was kind of like the cherry on top to win, but I wasn't lost after the show because I already knew that I was going to give myself time to pause, to reflect, right? To really celebrate what I had accomplished. So I didn't really have that, you know, sinking into the blues, which a lot of people get after they've accomplished big goals. I mean, I remember going into a state of depression after I had paid off all my debt, which sounds crazy, right? Like you should be celebrating and doing cartwheels because I'd had this debt for so long. And every day I would get out of bed and that debt was like what drove me to, you know, keep going. And the irony was when the debt was gone, I didn't know what my purpose was anymore. Like, now what was going to get me out of, like, I questioned everything. Do I even like what I'm doing? Do I want to still be doing this? So not surprisingly, I ended up racking up my debt again because I couldn't be with the emotion of like, well, now who am I, you know, this person who's had this success and now I have no debt. I didn't allow myself to be worthy and deserving of that. So I just repeated the pattern again. So it's really interesting how these things can show up in your life and they're an opportunity for you to really get still and tune into, well, what's really going on for me here? What am I really feeling?
Yeah. And I think it's, you need to be extremely mindful because especially the last thing you said that you accomplished the goal and then you're questioning, okay, what am I going to do now? So, and then you just start creating new problems because you're addicted during this process, right?
And we, you know, we see this a lot with bodybuilders in particular, you know, overdoing too many shows in a year, right? Never really allowing themselves to go through that growth and building stage because they get addicted to chasing leanness and they get addicted to going, you know, going on stage and doing these shows. But that becomes problematic if now you've tied up your worth and your identity in your body looking one specific way, because you and I both know that, you know, you can't be competition ready all the time. That's not healthy either. We have to go through different phases of our training as an athlete to create a well-rounded athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the whole point out of this conversation is that you have to find a way that you get your self-worth just from yourself and not from accomplishments, and use your goals just as a direction towards where you're going, right? And not that I need to do this to define myself, because otherwise it will just be another box. And I remember, for me, it was the eye opener for me was when I graduated from university back in 2019, when I was already doing with my when I was already having my business, and I graduated and I got like hammered for one night, had my celebration, and then I was like, yeah, I got this, but business isn't going well, so this is basically meaningless. And there's always this but, and I think that's something to, like, for me, the challenge, it's still sometimes a challenge to just be really aware of that when you're getting into those patterns, because this is usually the place where it just starts to go downward, and you get into this self-sabotage, as you mentioned with your dad, that you just being like, okay, I can't be without that. So it's not, I can't just be fine, right?
Correct.
It's basically so what I'm saying here.
That what you're saying is really, really important for your listeners to look for is typically with, you know, ambitious achievers, they have hardwired their brains to constantly be looking for problems and what's not working. I'm not there yet. It's not good enough. So it doesn't matter, you know, what you've done in the gym, there's always more. And part of learning to find value in yourself and celebrate yourself and celebrate your accomplishments is training your brain to look for the wins that you've had every day. So, you know, I'm the girl in the gym giving myself like high fives and cheering for myself when, you know, I push a little bit more weight or I get a new PB, right? Like really allowing myself to feel proud. So, you know, if I, you know, deadlift, whatever, I don't immediately go, well, I'm still not at, you know, I'm still not deadlifting three times my body weight. So it's not good enough yet, right? Like you have to learn how to look for the wins every single day. You have to learn how to come back to that place of feeling proud of yourself, because for so many of us, we've forgotten what it feels like to allow ourselves to be proud, because we live from this belief that if you allow yourself to be proud, you'll stop wanting to accomplish anything, right? So we use this like you're not good enough yet as a way to drive and motivate us. But again, that's looking for this external reason to go do things instead of it being an internal drive. I want to go do this thing because I'm going to feel amazing when I hit this PR or I accomplish this thing in business, right? Or I make this money. It's really celebrating all the small things along the way instead of focusing on what's not working, the things you don't like, the places you haven't been to yet, the things you haven't accomplished yet.
Yeah. And this was a huge learning for me in business, because I used to work from this place that, okay, I put this thing in front of me to just drive me there. But that's just my own experience in business, is when I do that, if I don't see myself worthy of that, there's not really a reason for me to just to create that, right? So I need to find my drive somewhere else, helping people, for example. Because if I don't have this self-worth or this amount of self-worth, I will just not allow myself to do things, and that makes things super hard. And I remember this conversation which we had when I was talking about, okay, I think I'm just not able to work hard enough. But it was not that I wasn't able to work hard enough, it was that I was just making even the smallest tiny bits extremely hard, or way harder than they had to be. And that was what was wearing me out at the time. And sort of the whole purpose of this is to just find your, as I said, your internal drive, and not making it about this need to prove something, because that's you will sabotage yourself at some point, right? I think.
Well, as a society, we've wrapped so much meaning around things being hard, right? And this ability to push through. But we end up making things so much harder than they need to be, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm not here to solve the world hunger problem or world peace, right? I'm here to help people. I'm not creating oxygen. And if something doesn't work, if I launch something or I try something in the gym and I fail, like nothing bad happens. It doesn't mean anything. But for so many years, when I didn't feel good about myself, if something didn't go the way I wanted it to, it was like the world was ending, right? Like it had personal meaning to me. So it wasn't that I failed. It's that I thought I was a failure.
Yeah.
And what that does, anytime you believe you're not good enough or you believe that I am a failure, right? So it becomes about you. That actually means that you're operating from a place of shame. Shame is, there is something wrong with me. I believe I'm inherently flawed, right? Versus it being external, like, oh, I did that thing. It didn't work. I'm going to try again. Versus I did that thing. It didn't work. What's wrong with me? Why can't I do it? How come everybody else has it? And, you know, what's my problem? So that's kind of where I was living my life from for so long. And when we stop attaching so much meaning to things, and we just, I mean, for as many times as I've high-fived myself in the gym before we went live, like there's just as many times where I've had like epic fails in the gym, you know, that I'm trying to get myself out from under a barbell or something. And it doesn't mean anything. Like I tried it, it didn't work. Back up the bus. Let's go do it again, but let's not make it mean anything about you. It doesn't mean that you're never going to accomplish your goal or that you're a horrible lifter or a bad business person. It happened. Let's move on. Let's not attach any meaning to it. And I'm always looking at now, how can I allow this to be more fun? How can I bring more ease to the process? Right? So whether it's in the gym or in business, you know, prepping for a show is hard. I'm not going to pretend like it's not hard, right? There's a lot of commitment and discipline that goes into it. But even with that, I was like, how can I bring as much ease as possible into this process so that I'm not, you know, having a tantrum every day that I have to eat this or pack this or go to the gym. So we can always decide the energy that we want to bring to our doing. And that is more important, right? So you used to work from this energy of like, super intense, really hard on yourself, right? Driving all the time, as opposed to now where you let yourself have more fun and you bring more lightness into your business. You don't make things mean so much, right? That's what life is all about. It's not, we can push ourselves to do hard things, but can we bring ease? Can we have more fun with things as we're doing those hard things so that we can enjoy the process and the journey more?
Yeah. And the important thing for me to realize, especially in business, was that it's really not about me. It's not about me. It's about the people or the thing I want to create and the people I can help. And this already, seeing it from this perspective, already gets me out of this. Okay, I need to prove myself worth by making X amount of money and having those many people on my program. And it's, yeah, just as you said, it's way more fun than way. And it's also something that having fun is actually something that will make you way more successful
Yeah, the irony, right? Have more fun and you'll make more money and be more successful. But that's really what it's about. Like, you know, I want to enjoy my life.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I would be training for 10 years now if it wasn't fun to me, right? Because I compete in powerlifting, you compete in bodybuilding. What's the point of doing things like that if you don't enjoy it, right?
Right, because it's a lot, right? Like the training is intense. You know, showing up for yourself as an athlete is a lot. You know, there's impacts on our families and the people we love when we're in prep. And you have to enjoy it, because if you don't enjoy it, if you hate every moment of it, like, why are you doing it? Yeah. Right. Anything in your life, if you're thinking like, God, I hate going to do this, or I hate having to work with this person, or I hate this part of my business, you need to take an honest inventory about why you're so committed to doing something that you hate doing. Mm-hmm. And so often people have gotten in this place where they're just so used to, well, this is what I do, that they forget that as a human, we can look up and we can change our mind and we can let go of things, right? Like I don't know if I'm going to be competing till I'm 80. I can't promise that, which means at some point in time, I'm going to have to decide, okay, this isn't what I want to be doing anymore. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not still going to be training in the gym. I probably will be that 80-year-old woman defying all the odds in the gym, whatever, but my training is going to look different at 80, I would assume, than it does, you know, at almost 50 now. So it's always, for me, I'm always looking at different elements in my life and saying, does this still light me up? Does this bring me joy? Can I have fun with this? Or does this feel like I'm pushing a boulder up a hill and I don't want to do it anymore?
Yeah, because it's always about what you're getting out of it, I think. And if this benefit isn't enough, and you, especially with long-term goals such as fitness, I think it's very important, especially at the beginning, that you find a way to do it that is actually enjoyable for you. And even if this might not be the best theoretical way, if it looks different for you, then it's makes way more sense for you to do it that way. And I think it's also important to say there's gonna be days where you're like, fuck, I don't want to go to the gym today. You have those, I have those. But if this is just the main theme behind what I'm doing, it's gonna be extremely hard to just be consistent. Mm-hmm. And if you can't be consistent with it, you're not having the right strategy for you.
That's right. There's always going to be things that I don't want to do. And yeah, Sometimes we have to do the things that we don't want to do. But this is what I mean. Even if you don't want, so for instance, last year, so what year are we in? We're 2022 now. I feel like it's just been one long year from 2019, yeah, Right? So early 2020, I was supposed to go on stage. We all know, you know, what happened around the world with that. So in 2020, I went into my first real like build. So women, typically we don't like to build because you have to eat in a caloric surplus. You have to actually be okay with gaining weight. And I did this build very intentionally with my coach because I wanted to put myself through the discomfort of a proper build, right? Bodybuilding is all about, you know, how you can change your body. But if you're constantly in a caloric deficit, if you're always chasing lean, you'll never grow and change because you cannot grow if you're not eating in a caloric surplus. So I went through a build in 2020. It didn't really go completely as planned. I was following my coach's direction, you know, and checking in, but I wasn't measuring properly. So I could see things were changing, but I was just like, all right, I guess this is the way it was supposed to be. But I was so committed to loving myself through the entire process. So I'm small, right? Like I'm 5'1". I'm like 105 on a good day. Like I am one of the tiniest people out on stage. So even calling myself a bodybuilder, I kind of laugh about it because I'm the smallest bodybuilder in the world. So I put on over 20 pounds during this build. So on a 5'1" frame, that was not lean mass, right? Like I am I was 48 at the time. I just turned 49 last year. It's really hard for women to put on lean mass, right? So you've got to be lifting with a lot of intensity. But you know, hormonally, it's not an easy feat. So that was not 20 pounds of muscle that I put on. It was pretty much 20 pounds of body fat. And it wasn't easy, right? Getting up every day, watching the scale go up, standing in front of the mirror and appreciating my curves, buying bigger clothes. Like no woman ever wants to go buy bigger clothes, right? But just really saying, like, I am going to be so committed to this process, right? Until I hit the point that I was supposed to hit. And then, you know, it was, I dieted from December until August when I walked on stage. So it was a really long, you know, to take that weight off took time. And there were lots of things within that process that I had to do that I didn't want to do. I don't think I've ever eaten so much food in my life, right? Going to bed, like completely stuffed. I got to the place where I was like, I think I hate food. I think I don't actually want to eat anymore, right? Like a build. It was so much. It was so uncomfortable. But I also knew if I wanted to grow, I had to eat. So I did the things. And I learned so much about myself in that process. You know, I learned that I could do things that were really, really uncomfortable and hard, right? There was no, you know, there's one thing when you're dieting for a show and every day you're seeing more lines and more cuts and different veins coming out, right? It's, you can get excited about it. It's not as exciting when you're going the other direction and your pants don't fit. So I was having to stay really internally driven by this. So this is what it means. Like, you don't have to love all the pieces of the things that you're doing, but if it's something you really want to do, you have to figure out how to fall in love with even the things you don't want to do. You have to have the energy behind it around, okay, I'm making a choice to do this. How can I love myself through the process? How can I enjoy this to the best of my ability? How can I celebrate this? How can I find the ways to win and keep putting one foot in front of the other? So, you know, when I talk about doing things with ease, it's not this like every day is going to be easy in your business or in the gym or whatever you're working on. It's your mindset around how you're going to do those hard things so that you can have more fun with them, so that you can bring more ease to them. Because otherwise it's just, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, doing that build and being like every day, like hating myself through it. That would have been horrible. Mm. Not to mention the impact that that would have had on my body as well, right? Because our bodies always follow our minds. So how we think and feel about ourselves is really, really important. And, you know, I'm not here to abuse my body, meaning like talk badly about it. I have to love it through all its iterations. So that was a fascinating year. That build. I'm on another build, but we're not doing it as aggressively this time. I did a really moderate reverse diet out of my show. And then we've been slowly increasing my calories so that I'm eating a lot more now. So it's still a lot of food, but we're definitely making sure that my body fat isn't going through the roof, because I can tell you that to take that off, although it's, you know, totally possible, it was a lot of work. I don't want to have to work that hard again when it's time to go back up on stage. It was way too much, right? December till August, dieting and lots of cardio and weights. It was a lot. It was a huge commitment.
Yeah. So one question I am really curious about. So it's the second week of January. Lots of people make the New Year's resolutions about fitness and health. Lots of probably already quit at this point or fallen off track. You're competing in bodybuilding, you're running a very successful business, and you also have family and kids, which to some people might seem superhuman. And you're also saying that you manage this by actually doing less. So how does this all work together?
That's a really great question. So I know what my priorities are. So last year, when my focus was getting on stage, my business didn't get all my attention, right? Because when I was prepping to go on stage, I had to make some really important choices in my business. So it's not, you know, when you're getting ready for me, it was letting go of, okay, well, we're not going to launch any programs. We're not going to develop anything. We're just going to like stay the status quo, right? I really just worked with my one-to-one clients. And then there came a point where I didn't take on any new clients at all. I just worked with the clients that I had. So in business, you know, when we're always looking at making sure that, you know, we've got steady revenue, because revenue is the bloodstream in your business, right? It keeps your business running. Some of the decisions that I had to make were very strategic, because I knew I couldn't, you know, focus on growing my business and trying to get myself prepped in on stage, because that took so much time and effort. By the time I was getting closer to show, I was spending 3+ hours in the gym a day between my cardio, my weight training, and then, you know, I had to practice actually walking and posing, which point in prepping if you're going to walk out on stage and not be able to like carry yourself properly. Yeah. So that was a really big part of my prep too. So I had to spend time, you know, prancing around the gym. Not to mention on top of that, I also had my food prep, right? So I had to really watch how I was scheduling my clients so I could make sure that I was eating properly, because I couldn't go 4 hours without eating. I needed to be eating regularly. So in my business, I really pulled back on the things that weren't important. When it came to my family, the show that I did worked out really perfectly. It was in the summer. So the final months of prep, because it was in August, my son was out of school, which meant I could just go to the gym. I would stay at the gym until I was done and then I would come home. My gym time is early. And still to this day, how do I juggle it all? I'm out of bed at 4:45. I'm at the gym by like 5:15, 5:30 at the latest, so that it doesn't interfere with my family. Then I come home, get my son ready for school, drive him to school, come home, sit down and work. My work hours are scheduled so that I typically don't even sit down at my desk until 11 or 12. Right. So I'm not like cramming things back to back. I need to give myself space to come home, eat my breakfast, clear my mind, do the things that I need to do to support my well-being. Then I sit down to work and then I'm back in bed by, you know, 8:30 at night these days. So I really cull everything in my life that isn't a priority. So this year, you know, I'm still focusing on my training in the gym, but that's, you know, delegated to early mornings. And then my focus is on some business stuff this year, but it means being really, really clear on what I'm committed to and then being really disciplined about ticking those boxes every single day. So I know the things I need to do, you know, daily and weekly and monthly. And before I say yes to anything, I really look at how is this going to impact the rest of my life. The other thing is I ask for a lot of help. And this is where I see a lot of people struggle is, you know, they want to be doing all these things, but they're not willing to ask for help. And then they make it mean something about them, right? Like you get an extra badge of honor for doing all the things and being a martyr. I couldn't do all the things I do if I didn't have the help and support of my family. So during show prep, my hubby knows how he can best support me. You know, when I'm not in show prep, we sit down and we talk about kind of what our weeks look like, where he can support me, where I can support him best. And it really is about saying yes to way less things. So a better way to say it is I say no a lot. I say no a lot, so that I can support me having the outcomes I want and feeling the way I want to feel. Because, you know, my number one commitment is to my emotional well-being. So that means there has to be time on my schedule for me to take care of me and not just be doing business activities or in the gym, right? I need quiet time. I need lots of time for rest. And, you know, some mindless Netflix helps every now and then too, to just relax and enjoy.
Yeah. It's, I really like the simplicity behind it, because most would be like, yeah, there has to be some crazy organizing behind it, but basically it's just cutting out all the crap that's not helping you with your goals, right? And it's really fascinating, because when you actually do the maths, you have 168 hours per week. I hope I'm right with the number right now, but I think I am. And you say you start out with training and let's say you do 90 minutes per week just to get started. And it's less than 1% of your week. And I mean, if you don't find this 90 minutes in those hours, what you're really saying is that it's not a priority for you. And I think that's the first thing you have to work on when you, like for many people who get into excuses like, yeah, I don't have the time, but I'm out of energy, and not really realizing that you're out of energy because they are not doing anything for their body and for their health. And also for me, it was a massive leap back then in 2018 when I realized, okay, I can't just keep playing those countless hours of video games with my goals in university, business, powerlifting, just doesn't work out. So this had to go. And what was really interesting for me at this point was that it used to be such a major part of my life, like up to like it was very common for me to just play for 10, 12, 14 hours a day. And when I stopped it, like I decided one day I just delete every game from my laptop and that's it, because that's what works best for me, to just make a clear cut with things. And I just noticed how big this hole really was that I was trying to fill with all this stuff, because I was already aware at this point that I actually wasn't enjoying playing those video games, and I was just doing it because I was like, well, there's what else is there? which all goes back to this conversation we had earlier about emotional well-being, about knowing what you're really wanting to create and not trying to avoid all the stuff you've been hiding.
That's right. It's really looking at, you know, setting boundaries in your life. And some of the hardest boundaries to set are the boundaries we have to set with ourselves, yeah. Right? So if you're telling yourself you don't have time, like you said, what you're really saying is you're not making yourself a priority. So if you want to focus on your wellness or creating more success in your business, you have to take an honest inventory of, are you actually spending your time on the things that are going to move the needle forward towards the outcome you say you want? Because if you're not, you're just in self-deception. So you have to look at the things like you did, the video gaming, the social media, the time spent, you know, doing things for others that you probably don't even want to be doing, but you feel obligated to do, or you're afraid to say no. You have to take an inventory of all these things. And then ask yourself, is this supporting me feeling the way I want to feel? And how would I feel if I eliminated these things? And when you start to say no to people, or you stop video gaming, or you stop spending hours on social media, you will start, if you're willing to tune in, you'll start to notice the emotions that are coming up for you that you've been using those things to numb out. And for a lot of people, boredom, loneliness, you know, feeling this lack of direction, not knowing what their purpose is, right? Not feeling connected. This is often why we numb out, because we're so out of touch with that relationship with ourselves. So what can you do to support you deepening the relationship that you're having with yourself? Because you're not going to do that in endless hours of video games or social media, or even in, you know, excessive exercise, overtraining, or overdoing in your business. There have to be these pockets where you give yourself permission to really tune into your relationship with yourself instead of avoiding and numbing out constantly. So yeah, it's really interesting, the stuff that people get into to avoid being in a relationship with themselves. This is why I couldn't meditate.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't want to be with myself. I didn't want to hear what was going on between my ears. There was a lot of noise up there. So
yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Like there's been time when I just noticed that even if I just stand up and move from my desk towards the toilet or to the kitchen, I need to turn on some song just to move there. And it's really weird when you start paying attention to those types of behaviors and what they're actually telling yourself. And yeah, fascinating.
Correct. Now for some of us, like I am actually better able to focus when I'm moving. I'm a very kinesthetic person. So yeah. I've had to acknowledge that, you know, sitting still, although I do it and I do a lot of slowing down and resting, but my creativity comes to me when I'm moving. I also find that to help with my focus, and maybe this is an ADD or ADHD thing, I don't know, I probably have ADHD and just haven't been diagnosed. I'm better able to focus when there is noise, right? So the buzzing of lights, or, you know, binaural beats or whatever it is. If an environment is too quiet for me, that it's hard for me to focus. So it's also learning, like, what are numbing things versus what are supportive things that actually help our focus and direction as well, and not making that wrong or bad. So
yeah,
you know, I'd make sure I have these pockets of time where I sit in silence and I get quiet. That's important. But I also honor the fact that for me, you know, going for a walk and being quiet is more effective than me just sitting still being quiet and not making it wrong or bad around what it is that I need to thrive. Because at the end of the day, it's just about allowing myself to get quiet. If that is done with movement, I'm not going to say that's wrong.
Yeah. It also comes down to this whole conversation about what you think about yourself. If you think like, okay, I can't sit still, now I'm bad and it's wrong and all of that, because I can highly relate to that. So for me, it's way more relaxing to take a walk outside, for example, than to just sit around, because when I sit around for an hour, I will just start to tighten up and feel weird. And I don't like it, because I'm just like you. I just want to do things. I want to lift stuff. I want to walk. I want to run. I want to be active. And I think for me, it's just, or my perspective around this, is just knowing your strength, learning what works for you, paying attention right. about that and using it, because there's nothing wrong if you prefer going for a walk over meditation. I mean, who says that's not something that can work for you, right?
Right. So it's just, I've learned that it's not healthy for me if I'm multitasking everything in my day. So I don't always have to have a podcast on. I don't need to go for a walk with music. And quite often in the gym, I have my headphones on, or even grocery shopping. I'm so bad. I'll put my headphones on. Nothing's playing. Right. I love to work out in the gym with nothing playing in my ears, with my headphones on, so I can just get really, really present to what's going on in my body. Because I found before, you know, I'd be listening to music or I'd be tuned into a podcast, and then I wasn't really 100% listening to the podcast, and I wasn't 100% in my body. So I'm always looking at how I can be more present in my world and let go of the multitasking as well. Because my brain, you know, the default setting is to be busy, but I know that that's not healthy for me. It's always about doing less. It's always about slowing down. So that takes, how do I put this? It's like doing what people would think is easy, slowing down, getting still, being quiet. Those things are harder for me than going and doing the hard things, right? You want me to push a sled around the gym? I can do that. That's easier for me than turning off all the noise and just allowing myself to be present in silence. And that, you know, the work that I do with my clients is also the work that I do on myself, right? Like these are the lessons I've also had to learn. I understand the discomfort that comes with that. So it's, you know, it's a process, but I think that's why I love weight training so much, because it is so, for the most part, slow and methodical, and you really have to be present.
Yeah.
Right. If you want great results, you have to be present. You have to have that mind-body connection. And that's the same type of presence that I bring into my business when I'm doing things, whether it's writing or social media or whatever I'm doing, that type of presence.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities between fitness and business. And this is something which I also really like to talk about. So what would you say, in what ways does committing to fitness, committing to being an athlete, how does this contribute to your business?
This is such a great question, because one of the reasons I decided to hire my coach and to go back on stage, because I hadn't been on stage for 12 years, I think, 12-year hiatus. One of the reasons I decided to get back into being a competitive athlete was because I was spending way too much time in my business again. And I knew that I needed to take my attention off my business and focus on something that was just for me, that had nothing to do with my business. And I mean, ironically, it was, you know, it did actually tie back to my business a lot. But what I found in really stepping back into being a competitive athlete was everything I was doing in the gym related to what I was avoiding in my business. Right? Doing the hard things in my business with ease, right? Staying really committed and disciplined, like just tick the boxes, right? You hear me say this all the time, chop wood, carry water. So I was able to go into the gym and do the things that I needed to do to create the outcome I wanted. And then I came back into my business and said, well, where am I avoiding doing the things that I need to do that I don't really want to do that are going to create the outcome that I want for myself? Right. So being, taking that drive and discipline and commitment in the gym and transferring it back into my business at a completely different level, because, you know, in today's age, the internet age, everybody wants you to believe that you just, you know, you put a website up, you go talk about something on social media, you send an email and you make $1 million. It doesn't work that way, right? We have to put in consistent effort over and over and over. We have to be willing to do the shit that we've been unwilling to do. You have to be willing to sell. You have to talk to other humans. You can't just hide behind a website and flashy social media, right? You have to put yourself out there. You have to work through the anxiety, the fear, the doubt, all of these things that we've talked about. If you want to be able to create the success that you want for yourself, you know, I'm not going to win my division if I'm half-assing my meals, my training, my posing, right? So what does it look like to be all in? What does it look like to be 100% committed? Not burning yourself out, but by doing the things that actually are going to move the needle in my business. So it was really interesting to watch the lessons. You know, here I thought I was going back to the gym in this competitive way because it was just going to be for me. And then it became so clear the lessons that I also needed to bring into my business. Another big one that I took from the gym into my business was in the gym, it's very data driven. You know this. You got to write down what you've been doing the week before so you can work on progressive overload. You don't just wing it. You don't just go, well, I think I'll lift, you know, 20 pounds this week. Like there's a method to it so that, you know, you can see results. And I came back into my business and went like, where am I not looking at the data? Where am I letting my emotions make decisions?
Yeah.
Right? Where am I letting my emotions make decisions versus am I actually making decisions based on the data? So I remember my coach at one point in time, she got on a call with me and she's like, I think we need to talk. And she's like, look, I don't do emotions. And I'm sitting here thinking, do you know me? Like, that's all I do is emotions. Like I talk about emotional fluency. This is what I do. She's like, I don't do emotions. Like I am here as a strategist to get you to the outcome you want. We make data-based decisions. She's like, so you can talk to me about your feelings, but I'm not really here for that. And I was like, okay, I will work on this in my journal. I will talk to my other coaches about any emotions that come up. But it was really eye-opening for me to see how much in my business I was letting my emotions get the better of me, right? The fear, the doubt, what will people think? You know, very similar to the stuff that you have gotten into yourself. To put all of that down and just say, okay, Lisa, what is the data telling you? What are the things that you need to do to move the needle in your business? And stop giving this so much meaning. Because I know if I go into the gym and every week I add weight onto my squats at the end of my 4-week block, I'm going to be much stronger than I was at the beginning, right? That's going to change my body. If I'm looking at the data in my business, right? How can I be committed to doing this thing every single week, knowing that at the end of 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, you know, there's going to be more people on my email list, or I'll have more clients because I went out and sold every single day. I talked about how people could work with me. So I started to let the data drive more decisions in my business and stayed out of my emotions. Like, just go do the things, Lisa. Stop making it mean so much. You're not creating oxygen. Nothing bad happens. If this doesn't work, just go try, right? It's kind of like if you put extra weight on and you can't get back up out of your squat, big deal, right? You let the bar drop, no harm, no foul. Same thing in business. So that's really how the lessons from the gym, you know, pulled over into my business, not to mention also the mental toughness, because you know this.
Yeah.
Right? That weight is coming off the floor because you tell yourself it's coming off the floor. So much mental tenacity to sit down in my business and just say like, Lisa, we're going to go do the thing. Like, go do the thing. This is the point B we're going to. do the things that are going to support you being at point B. And that's what I did. So that's how I've seen such tremendous growth in my business as well.
Yeah, I think training is also one of the benefits is also that you just learn to prioritize because it's not about the fancy stuff. It's about picking a bunch of exercises that work out for you, get strong in those, increase the loads, eat your, get the food you need, get your sleep, and that's it. And I think this simplicity, that's the...
Yes, like I was watching a video today. It was a girl doing something with a BOSU ball. Yeah, right? So she's doing a lunge on a BOSU ball with a ball above her head. And it's never the fancy stuff that gets us the results we want. It's the simple, tried and tested things done over and over and over again, where you work on your craft, that are going to produce the results. Yeah. And this is what I mean. Like, you can do all the Instagram reels and TikTok and stuff that you want, but if you're not willing to actually put yourself out there and say, hey, this is how I can help you, right? Sales, and talk to humans. Not much is going to change if you're trying to grow a business, and not much is going to change in the gym if you're constantly doing all these fancy schmancy things instead of just looking at what are the basic lifts done time after time with progressive overload, with accessory work, that is going to create the changes that you want to see.
Yeah. A funny thing about it is when I started online coaching, one of the reasons was because for me to start online was because I thought, okay, I don't like talking to people, so I don't have to talk in person to people, which turned out to be not that true very quickly. But it was also something that allowed me to grow extremely fast. And I think it's the same thought process. I mean, if I'm in the gym and powerlifting, it's even simpler than bodybuilding. You have free lifts. Get as strong as possible in those, and you're done. You don't need to pose. You don't even need, you need to pay attention to your nutrition, because otherwise you won't get, your progress will slow tremendously, but you don't need to be as accurate as in bodybuilding, let's say like that. And let's say I can't progress in my squat, and I wouldn't get the idea of doing some weird BOSU ball, single leg, explosive kind of stuff that you see around, maybe. And it's the same thing in my business, right? If if something doesn't work, it would be the same as like overthinking my logo for the 17th time now, or
right. Stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is also something which training can help you a ton with, to just learn how to focus on things that matter and to prioritize, because there's so many people in fitness who do like who spend hours on stuff that doesn't matter and research all their supplements and don't even have an idea what their energy balance might look like, right? Yeah. And so it's just doing all this busy work you've been mentioning that won't get you ahead. And I think that's also something which you can learn from training, and also the mental fortitude, because this is something which powerlifting taught me, because it's not as with bodybuilding where you have a 6 or 9 month diet and it's this tremendously slow process, but it's more like those 20 seconds. But those 20 seconds in powerlifting, you feel like your soul is about to leave your body, right? If you have those 7 seconds squats and all this stuff. And you need to be ready in this moment, and you need to be mentally clear. And I think this is also something that you can carry over to your work, that you just build this confidence. I'm a big fan of just taking your confidence from one area in your life and just projecting it into the different. I think that's a perfect example where you can utilize. And I think that's,
I agree. Valuable. I agree. Even, even walking out on stage, when I went on stage in Vegas, because of course, middle of the pandemic, so nobody was with me. I didn't have any of my family wasn't there. So here's this auditorium of people. And I remember walking out on stage, and I mean, I had my colleagues that I trained with and their spouses were there. I remember walking out on stage and I'm like, look at all these people here for me, right? And really embracing that, to just show up, take up space and shine. Mm. And how could I bring that into my business even more? So everything that I do for my training, competing, all of that stuff, everything transfers into my business. Even with my lifts now being in a growing season again, it's how can I perfect these lifts? How can I become an even more efficient athlete? And the same is in my business. Like, how can I write this email faster instead of it taking me 2 hours to come up with, you know, the perfect words? Can I just like, how can I become a real master at my communication? Just like, how can I become a master at doing my bench press? So I just think that the gym, regardless of, you know, whether you're a weekend warrior, a bodybuilder, a power lifter, I think so many lessons can be transferred from the gym, from being physically active, into your business if you are in fact running your own business. And I personally believe that entrepreneurs are just another type of athlete. Right? It's the same mindset. And that's why, you know, any entrepreneur who isn't taking care of their physical and emotional well-being, they're leaving a huge amount of what could create their success on the table, right? Like, you cannot create success from a broken body, from a broken mind. So I think that the physical and emotional well-being and regular exercise and eating right and all that stuff goes hand in hand with being a truly successful entrepreneur.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's a perfect spot to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for your time, Lisa. I think that this is going to help a lot of people. And yeah, if anyone wants to contact you, where can they find you?
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been really fun chatting with you. I love chatting about the gym, and there's not that many people I chat about the gym with and the gym and how it ties into business. So that was fun. Probably the best place to find me is on Instagram. I'm at Lisa Carpenter Inc. I'm usually typically in stories, but I do really limit my social media these days because it can be a bit of a toxic environment with everything that's going on in the world. Or over on my website at lisacarpenter.ca. I'm pretty accessible, so I'm always happy to welcome new followers and get to know people who are, you know, working on their businesses, working on themselves, working on their bodies, whatever it may be. So thanks for having me.
Perfect. We will link all your details in the description. And also thank you for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends so they can also benefit from it. And if you want to, if you want more content like this, subscribe to this podcast, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this whole episode. If you enjoyed this episode, I would strongly encourage you to join my free Facebook group, the Strong Entrepreneur Community. In this Facebook group, I will share a lot of valuable content so that you can develop physical, mental, and emotional strength so that you can grow your business faster and with more ease. The link to this Facebook group is in the description of this episode. Also, if you want to hear the next episodes on this podcast, subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends so that they can benefit from it as well. Thank you for listening.